Thank you. Thank you. You guys are too kind. Appreciate that spontaneous welcome. We've been in a series of messages that Casey introduced a few weeks ago. We're going to get into week four here. And I just want to thank you guys for being a worshiping congregation. I just thank you so much for celebrating those baptisms today with people the way you did, with all that enthusiasm. Every time we do a baptism like that, we are welcoming more people into the family of Jesus. And they're making a commitment to walk along saying Jesus and to take their next step in that. And as a family, being able to celebrate that together, that is key for us. So thank you all for the effort that you put into paying attention to that, celebrating it with them. If you find any of those folks who have been baptized today, give them a hug and encourage the heck out of them. We're going to go into the next message in our series, following on from week one, where Casey talked about week one and two, where he talked about taking worry and turning it into worship. And he had a little song that he was doing, right? A clap and a stomp and a clap and a stomp and a... And I can't do that. Walk and chew gum at the same time. I can't stomp and clap at the same time, but I can play guitar. But the other one just doesn't work out. So you'll have to remember that and imagine Casey doing it because I can't do that. But that was turning worry into worship. And then the third week, Casey came to us and he said, how can we turn weariness into rest? And then pneumonia. So he gets the great example of how to do that for us. He's always leading in that way. Thank you for that. Today I want to talk about turning a habit of hiding into a habit of confession and accountability. A nice light topic for us to go through here. And so I'll start. It wouldn't be fair if I wasn't transparent up front. I'll start with something I need to confess, but it's real small and it's real easy, and it's not gonna worry you guys at all. When I was young, I had a favorite toy. It was a bright pink plastic guitar slung over my shoulders. It had nylon strings. And I wore that thing. Matter of fact, I have a picture of it at home, picture starting to fade. It's a picture of me playing the guitar in my Sears tough skin jeans. Some of you will remember that, right? You could order those out of the catalog, and they fit sometimes, and they shrunk the next day, and they were really tight. And you would wear holes in the knees, and you could get patches from Sears, and you could put the iron-on patches in the knees, because we lived on a farm, and you would constantly get holes in the knees. So I'm out there in my Sears tough skin jeans and my white t-shirt. I was a little six-year-old redneck with a guitar slung around my shoulder playing that thing. And the picture catches me doing the one thing I love to do best, and that's not work. In the background, my whole family's in the garden working. There's my mom, there's my little sister, there's my brother. They're out there in the garden pulling weeds and doing the home. What am I doing? I'm playing guitar, man. I'm 6 years old. This is way before Xbox and Guitar Hero, and I was already dreaming. So when my little sister, whose guitar this actually was, said, no, I don't think you can play with that today. That's my guitar. I got so angry. I took that thing and Jimi Hendrixed it. Boom! And crashed it. I was so angry that I couldn't play with the guitar. And immediately I knew I was in trouble because my little sister, she burst into tears and she went screaming for mama and said, ah! And I ran and I hid. I ran and I hid. I went to the place that I thought was the safest. I went under my sister's bed. I wasn't very smart, but I mean, it made sense at 6 years old. I was just trying to get away from it all. So I hid under there until she discovered me. She went and got mom, and when they came, I pretended like I was dead. I pretended like I wasn't breathing. Scared my sister even worse, and so I got in trouble for that even more, just for all of that. Smashing a pink guitar and dealing with that was my way of hiding, right? And that little example there is something I think we can all relate to, because hiding for us is kind of the way we do business. As a matter of fact, in your notes, it says hiding is built in. You can take that and you can write in the word hiding. The habit of hiding is built in. It's part of our story as human beings. It's part of our origin story. The narrative that we tell here when we're talking about the story of humanity is that God, in the beginning, formed order out of chaos and made a beautiful place for us to live as human beings. He gave us a garden. He gave us a place where we could endlessly create, and the earth would provide all that we needed, more than we needed. It could be a place that was thriving and beautiful if we just did what he told us. He'd give us one rule and said, don't eat from that tree over there. And as far as I can tell, the only reason he told us to do that was because he told us to do that. And if you're a parent, you've ever told your child to do something just because I said so, that's kind of what we're talking about here. Whatever the other reasons may have been, God said, don't eat of that. And what do? Of course, the one thing we're not supposed to do, we go do. Let's look at the consequences. Read Genesis 3:8. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. And so they hid. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. And we look at that and say, well, why did you hide? God can still see you. But there's a part of us that's still that 4-year-old or that 3-year-old that when you play peekaboo, they really think that because they can't see you, you can't see them. It's kind of like what Adam and Eve were doing, and it's kind of built into our soul that kind of a thing that where we do something wrong, our first instinct is to hide. Our first instinct is to withdraw and to pull in and to begin to control our situation, or at least we think we're controlling our situation. And that's kind of just what we do. It's always been done. But here's the problem. It's not working. Hiding is not working. The reason hiding is not working is because hiding doesn't heal anything. Hiding doesn't heal. It's in your notes. Because the truth has a way of coming out, and I'm pretty sure all of us would say, I have experienced that in my own life. The secrets that I tried to keep from my own family have a way of coming out. If you have brothers and sisters, they're going to tell on you, and that's how the truth comes out. But if you have something that's a little bigger and darker and no one has found out, it's a heavier secret, those things have a way of coming out, and they can either come out slowly and they can come out with healing, right? Or they can come out in an explosive way. It's like a pressure cooker. Have you guys ever been around when somebody's tried to can some vegetables using those mason jars? They put them on there and you clean it and you get it prepared. You put it in this massive aluminum or steel tub that's very strong. You fill it with water, you get it going, it's lots of heat, and you put this top on it, you secure it down, and it's got this little thing on top, this little wobbler that lets just a little bit of steam out when it gets just to the right pressure. And if that little thing isn't on there, what happens? Boom! It explodes. You can go on YouTube and find some great videos of these things exploding. Matter of fact, that's what I was doing this morning before I came in today, just for a little lightheartedness. It's amazing how much pressure can build up inside of one of those. Matter of fact, steam trains, right, used to be just one big boiler, and when those things went bad and they went wrong, it was a massive explosion that was trouble. And sin kept inside of us, hidden, not healed, has a way of coming out. And I want to talk about a healthy way of that coming out so that it doesn't explode, it doesn't get all over us. The reason that hiding doesn't heal anything is because our secrets do something. They change us. The secrets we keep change us. I talked about a little plastic pink guitar, and that's something that, you know, we can all look at that and say, okay, 6-year-old mistake, get over it, buy a new guitar. By the way, didn't buy me another guitar until I was 12 years old because they weren't going to go through that again. But we, as adults, do more than just smash little toy guitars. We have bigger problems, bigger secrets, and heavier sins. Perhaps we have ruined a relationship and we just can't bring ourselves to tell the people we're in relationship with. Perhaps we've been making very poor financial decisions and it's brought on a crisis that we're not willing to talk about or do anything about. We kind of keep it hidden, kind of keep a little control on that. Perhaps we've gone off the rails at work and we've dropped the ball. And somebody else picked it up and said, you know what, that's my fault. Well, I'll do better next time, but it was really your fault. And you just let them take the blame for it at work, and you covered it up. But it's still eating you up inside because adults have bigger secrets, and adults have bigger secrets with bigger consequences. And that steam that we were talking about before, building up in that pressure cooker, those things change us. I looked up some scientific study stuff, and I usually don't look up the entire all the background for things, but I went to the Journal of Experimental Psychology and found two studies in here that had actually talked about research done to try and identify how keeping secrets changes us. Two studies, one in 2012, 2017, group of people, about 400, and they asked them, if you have secrets, where are they on this list? And they categorized them, said, don't give us the details, just tell us where they are on this list. And they ranked all of these different things. And people had big, deep, dark secrets that they would never tell anyone. Perhaps they were on the edge of a bankruptcy, right? And they were just so embarrassed that they would never tell anyone. Or perhaps it was just a fundamentally broken relationship that they could not admit to in there. And they're keeping these deep, dark secrets versus people who were keeping smaller secrets. Like, I told the kids that it was hamburger, but it was really tofu. Smaller secrets, not the same gravity, okay? And when they asked these people to rank these things and write them down, they had these groups of people, they gave them some different things to do. One was they gave them a picture to look at, and they said, on a scale over here, tell us how difficult it would be to walk up this hill or to run up this hill. Just give us your perception. And then they gave them a beanbag and a target and said, throw this beanbag at the target, try and hit it, and then we'll rank to see how you do. Here's what's interesting. With statistical significance, the people who held the deeper and more significant secrets all perceived that it would be more difficult to walk up this hill than the people who just kept the small ones. And for the people who perceived that it would be harder to walk up the hill, it was also consistent that when they gave them the beanbag and a target and they threw the beanbag at the target, those who held the deeper secrets and had the bigger weight overthrew the target in a statistically measurable more amount of times than the people who had the smaller target. And when they asked them what it was, they said, we just perceived that it was going to take more effort to throw the beanbag at the target. In 2017, they went back in the same study, different conclusions they were looking for, different group of people, same questions about how big this thing was that you're carrying, and they said, is there any health benefit or any health impact to what's been going on? And they found a correlation again between the people who kept the bigger secrets and the activity of their adrenal and endocrine systems and the level of their perceived health and the level of their actual health. That there was a distinct impact on their health to a detriment of their health when they held the bigger secrets and held on to them. I found that to be interesting. I found that to be remarkable. As a matter of fact, therapists know what's going on, and in their practices, when they see people, they know what's going on inside of you, and they know that it has changed you. When you're sitting down to talk to them, it's just that you don't know it yet. Sometimes they have people write these things out, too. And in the process of writing, they get to processing these things. They get to some of those actual feelings about what they have been keeping inside. We have a story in Scripture of a man who should have been a hero, but had a sin. He had a secret. And in keeping that secret, it began to change him from the king of the greatest nation with all of God's favor, bearing God's name as a witness and example to the rest of the world as a result of all God's faithful promises. This guy was named David, and he was the king. The golden era of Jerusalem, the golden era of the Israelite people. David decided he wanted another man's wife, and he took her. He abused his authority, he abused his power, he leveraged it all to simply take her for himself. And a secret began to form inside of him and grow heavier and heavier. And because he couldn't stop thinking about her, he said, I've got to do something about this. And so he compounded the first sin by having her husband murdered. And he kept that secret. And it stayed inside of him, and nobody ever knew about it. Because if you're the king, who's going to hold you accountable, right? Who's going to hold you accountable if you're the king? I mean, none of us can get away with that. But this guy, if you sit on the throne, the laws are in place that nobody can even make an accusation against you without putting their life on the line when they come to do that. Even so, all the privilege that he had
all the sins that he had, all the secrets that he had, began to weigh on him and began to change him. Read in Psalm 32, when I kept silent. This is David talking. He has written this down finally in a confessional that we still have a record of. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand, God, was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And you forgave the guilt of my sins. You forgave the guilt of my sins. David held onto his secrets, and they began to eat him away on the inside. And I just love how poetic that is as he describes his bones being eaten away and God's heavy hand on him. You know what that is? It's his conscience. He's trying to control. He's keeping it secret. He's trying to be controlling it, but truth has a way of coming out. One day God talks to a prophet and says, here's the secret. You go confront David with it. So this prophet goes and puts his life on the line and confronts David with it. And David all of a sudden is outed. And in that moment, he confesses. And here's what I want you to know. The last part of that verse says, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Write this in. Only God can forgive my guilt. Only God can forgive my guilt. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 11. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Write this in. God will bear the burden. God will bear the burden. And matter of fact, that is the point of the narrative of the Bible and the story that we are living out today, is that God in the beginning had given us a great world and a place for us to thrive, and we keep choosing for ourselves against him. We keep missing the mark. We keep rebelling against God. He himself made a way for us to come clean. In the person of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ came and gave of his own life, as a sacrifice. We don't live in a sacrifice system anymore, and it's hard for us to really understand what a sacrifice was, but this is Jesus giving his own life, allowing himself to be unjustly killed, lynched, crucified, knowing that in that moment, that would be acceptable to God the Father for us to be clean from all our guilt and all our sin. That one act of love and mercy was the way in which the burden can be lifted. And that's what we celebrate when we get together. That's the story that we're entering into. That's the challenge for us to make our next step into a relationship with Jesus Christ, to live out of that well of grace every day, because it's always available. We never have to build a resume that tries to earn us any favor with God, or tries to make us more important than we ought to be, or to try and clean ourselves up in any way before we get to God, because he has done all the hard work. Now, our confession to God is built out of relationship with him. And so we trust that he bears the burden. Now, even though he bears the burden, there are consequences that remain. Right? That plastic pink guitar that I smashed is still smashed. It doesn't get repaired. Even though I apologized to my sister and I was forgiven and we eventually bought a new guitar, that guitar is broken and smashed. That's a little consequence, right? But in our world, the adult world, there are still consequences that go with sin, even when God cleanses us from the guilt of those sins and the burden of those sins. So let's flip it at this point to how we can begin to find healing. I think we can choose to bear the consequences of our sins. We can choose to bear our sins alone or in community. So how to find healing? First, develop a habit of confession to God. Confession to God is simple prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God and listening. Go to God with everything. He already knows exactly what you've done. Don't try to hide in the garden. He can see through the leaves of the trees. Right? Simply go to God in the trust and care that his burden is light and he takes away the sin. Secondly, develop a habit of community. In community, you're going to be encouraged to continue your development of your relationship with God and your habit of prayer in community. And community is something that is so simple. Matter of fact, you're all doing it today because you walked in the doors and you're here on Sunday morning. So hooray for you. You've done step one. You're already in community. This is an encouraging community where we do accept each other and we work towards encouraging each other and we work towards challenging each other. It's what we do here. But I'd also suggest that we have smaller communities as well. Periodically throughout the year, we have life studies that deal with issues like financial burdens or financial wisdom that you might need. And we also have studies in small groups, smaller groups of people that you can get in on a regular basis and meet, that maybe 8 to 10 people. So you can know them and they can know you. It's going to be a lot easier to work through some of the things in your life with people who know you, and then they can care for you. You can know and be known. So I encourage you to get into a regular rhythm of intentional gathering in small groups, especially one-on-one, and building those relationships. And Sunday morning is one of those. Also serving, too. Anytime you get into serving here, you're going to meet 3 or 4 more people who are like you and taking that next step towards Jesus, and you can just check in with them on a weekly basis or wherever your ministry actually happens to serve, and you're going to be in a habit of community. Let's take a look at this scripture, James 5, 16. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. There's a couple things inside of this. One, hard to admit your faults to one another if you don't have any one another's. So that's why I'm encouraging the community. Secondly, pray for each other. It's in the small community, it's in the one-on-one, it's in the knee-to-knee conversations where you can actually begin to minister to each other in prayer that this particular writer in Scripture seems to think is going to be highly effective. Admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Develop a habit of prayer with God and with others. That's in your notes. Develop a habit of building relationship. Develop a habit of being in that relationship, practicing that relationship. One of the most impactful groups that I've been a part of for at least about 8 years has been the Fireside. I've been in those environments in my own home. I've hosted it when we lived in Olathe. I went to somebody else's driveway for about 6 years when they lived in Lenexa. I spent time on that driveway with a bunch of other men in a lawn chair and a fire, with the smoke blowing at us and, you know, smoke gets in your eyes. But late at night, the dark, and the fire is the only light. And it was remarkable how, as grown men, we would start to move into conversations that were more revealing. And we began to get a culture of admitting our weaknesses and asking for prayer and stopping in the middle of that to listen to a guy who really needed to be listened to. And it was an environment in which we could do this in a place that felt comfortable for us. Again, I've spent my practice for about 8 years, and every week I still get together at 7 o'clock in behind the building with the guys who come. We start a fire, and we ask 2 questions. What's God doing in your life, and what are you doing about it? That second question starts us onto the road of accountability. And some of my good friends heard me say, well, I need help with my diet because I've been a glutton and all the sugar I've been eating has caused me to have diabetes. And so I need to change that. And in the ensuing weeks that came afterwards, what did I hear? Hey, how you doing with your diet? How you doing with your diet? I had a confession of my own sin of gluttony. I had the help of other people around me that make me feel forgiven. And I've actually moved. I've got an inch. I can actually put the third belt notch in here. It's improved. And I'll attribute that to my friends there as well. There's a statement I have here from Rick Warren that says, forgiveness comes from God and healing comes in relationships, which leads me to this point. When faults are revealed, the hurt can be healed. When faults are revealed, the hurt can be healed. Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, because of what? Because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. This is from the same guy. This is from that same King David, who once he had recognized what he did, and once he confessed it, and he was confronted with it, and he confessed that, he began to write down and process through all that he had done, all that he had hidden, all that he had hurt. And then he began to reflect on his relationship with God, and he knew it was distant, but he still believed in God's goodness. He believed in God's mercy and his unfailing love and his great compassion, so he continued to go to God. Because the great tragedy is if we hide things from the very one who already knows it and is eager and willing to forgive us, and yet we fear to go to him, like Adam and Eve in a garden, hiding in trees that are see-through. Here's the teaching big idea. Tell God and be forgiven. Tell a friend and be healed. I'm not saying that healing doesn't come from God. But I will tell you this. You won't feel it without people. I won't feel it without people. They're challenged to be forgiveness to me. I'm challenged to be forgiveness to them. And when you're with others, people who love Jesus more than they love you, and you do confess your sins, you get rid of the burden, they bear it, and they forgive you. And you feel that forgiveness, and it allows healing to come. It allows healing to begin. And community is that much deeper and richer when community accepts the burden of confessed sin. And what goes back out is grace, what Casey talked about earlier, deep grace. Grace that just keeps on going because we are all dealing with feeding from a well of grace that is endless and bottomless. So what do we do today? Here's your next steps. Three of them. First, tell God today. If I've stirred something in you and it's like a little bee buzzing back and forth inside of your skull and it won't settle down, write it down. Pull out that connect card that's in the seat back in front of you and write it down. And if there's somebody next to you that might be sneaky and looking at what you're writing down, then write it in code. Leave the vowels out. No one will be able to figure it out. First, tell God today. Don't go to bed tonight before you just tell God, okay, I know you already know about this, but I just need to ask you to cleanse me from my guilt. Okay, second thing, tell a friend. Find and tell a friend. Get into intentional community. Find and tell a trusted friend. Number three, receive the forgiveness and healing from God in community. If you have gone to God, if you have gone to your friends and God has forgiven you and your friends are telling you they love you and they're forgiving you, but you won't receive it, then you're too proud. And you won't be healed. And it's probably not because you don't love yourself. You probably love yourself too much. And you don't want to hear the forgiveness. And you don't want to feel it and you want to receive it. Oh, I don't want charity. I want people telling me. Look, our community is supposed to help each other. If we don't lift each other, it won't happen. So we have to, I think this is the most important part, we have to receive the forgiveness that comes from God and the forgiveness and the healing that comes from being in relationship with people who love Jesus more than they love you. That's how it works. That's how we heal. Then what hidden has no more power. What's hidden has no more power. And you begin to heal from it. You become a person who can now live out of that well of grace and extend that to other people as your way of doing life. Instead of hiding being the way you do life, you now become healing. And that is the way that you do life. Community is where this all happens. And I would just give you one final point, that when someone comes to you, and today I'm going to deputize you all, we have some prayer partners that you can talk to today. You can write it out on a card, turn it into us, and we will immediately begin to pray about it. If you want us to contact you, write this on the card, and we will contact you in the way that you asked us to contact you, if that's what you want. But I want to deputize you all to be the people who can hear what other people have to say, to be the ones that can hear the confession of your friends, the people you love, your neighbors, the people who love Jesus. And when you do, do not hesitate to go to God in prayer. Don't wait. Because when you go to God in prayer, you will feel the forgiveness of your friends and the cleansing from guilt that God provides. Can I pray with you? Jesus, I do pray because this can be heavy and I've stirred up some burdens today. And so, God, I pray that you give us the courage as a congregation to come before you and lay these things out, knowing that you will forgive. And I pray that you give us the courage to tell a trusted friend. I pray that you give us that courage. I pray that you fill us with hearts of grace so that when people come to us and confess their sins or ask us to pray with them, that we immediately go to you in humility. And we have the courage to squeak out a little prayer to you, God, trusting in your goodness, trusting in your compassion. In Jesus' name, amen. Our prayer partners are here for you today if you want to